Welcome to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call with Dave Hunt and T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for joining us. Coming up in today's broadcast, in our Understanding the Scriptures segment, Dave and Tom will continue their exploration of the Gospel of John and more on that Sabbath day healing. In Religion in the News, Methodist bishops have some criticisms for Methodist Bush and Cheney. We'll take a look at that story and examine the question, does the Lord send evil angels? We hope you can stay with us. Our ministry, the Berean Call, offers many teaching materials, including books, tracks, audio, and videotapes, and copies of our weekly broadcast on tape or compact disc. You may also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, which we offer free of charge. We'll let you know how to order later in the program. Now, this week's cover article, the third installment of our series based on Dave Hunt's book, In Defense of the Faith. Along with Dave Hunt, here's T.A. McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. You're listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a program in which we encourage everyone who desires to know God's truth to look to God's Word for all that is essential for salvation and living one's life in a way that is pleasing to Him. We're going through Dave Hunt's book, In Defense of the Faith, and the format of the book is, it's kind of an extended Q&A. And as we mentioned last week, these questions, and one of the reasons I wanted to use the book is sort of a syllabus to help people if they want something in front of them to follow along as we go through the this book in each program. Although, Dave, you have a way of taking us from here to there. Okay, so you're going to get a bonus if you think we're doing this word for word. It's not going to happen. On the other hand, there's a continuity here that I think is be really edifying.
You're trying to keep me in line, Tom.
I'm not in line.
I just launch out and into space. Yeah.
Well, line like fishing line. Sometimes I have to reel you in just a little bit, but that's my part.
I can't remember what was in the book.
If that wasn't the case, what would I have to do here? Because we appreciate certainly what you've given us in the book, which is based on a lifetime of walking with the Lord and a lifetime of answering questions, not just in your conferences, but just on planes, everywhere where you meet skeptics, atheists.
I enjoy that. I like to be challenged.
And I think that's going to be a blessing. Now, this question, I'm going to start right off with a question. We've been talking about faith, reason, evidence. Mm-hmm. And this question is it wrong to want some evidence or even proof for what a church teaches? I think someone would ask that question because many may have grown up with the idea that if you ask a question, then you're lacking in faith or you're a doubter or whatever, and that's, they would think, undermines faith.
Well, a very simple question that you should ask yourself. Let's say you're in a church. I don't care whether it's a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic church, whatever. Should you check out the pastor or priest or whoever? Would it be a healthy thing to have a little bit of skepticism in there? Well, why should you believe everything that this person says? Well, we've been in that church for centuries. My family was in it and their family and so forth. But wait a minute. What they are dealing with, what church is, religion, faith, supposedly, we're talking about God. Does he exist? Doesn't he exist? Who is he? What kind of a God is he? How do we know? We're talking about what happens after death. Is there life after death? Is there such a place as heaven and hell? I mean, this is what they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I hope they're not just talking politics Sunday morning when you go to church.
Well, some do.
Some do, right?
Dave, before you go on with that, there's also the side of this that, well, wait a minute, these people are professional. I mean, they're theologians. They're seminarians. They may understand Hebrew and Greek. They may be scholars. What about that?
There are all kinds of scholars that have different opinions. So which opinion are you going to take? In the final analysis, you have to decide. Each individual has to decide. You stand before God one day, and God says, why did you do this? Well, my pastor said so. Well, why did you believe the pastor? Well, I mean, he was a nice guy, and he had a seminary degree, and this was a large, successful church or whatever.
Dave, was the Bible written for scholars for Hebrew,
no.
People with expertise in that? Do you have to be at a certain level intellectually or from your training to understand the Word of God? Because if that's the case, then we are dependent on a magisterium.
Oh,
we're dependent on those who are learned, as it were.
That's right. If this is something that you can't, the ordinary person can't understand,
mm-hmm.
you have to know Greek or Hebrew, then you are at the mercy of someone else. And that is absolutely the opposite of what the Bible teaches.
Well, it wasn't written. It was written to just some common folk in Philippi or Colossae or...
It's written everyone, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
We've quoted it many times, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man, not a rabbi, the man who meditates in your law day and night. Or Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You know, not a rabbi. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, and so forth.
Timothy, young
right.
man from childhood,
as a child
that has known the scriptures.
Right, taught to him by his mother and grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Tom, I have a simple mind. I sometimes say it like this. The Greeks probably knew Greek better than the Greek scholars today, everyday Greek. And that didn't make them giant Christians. They had problems living the Christian life, knowing the Lord, and so
mm-hmm.
forth. So it doesn't come. Spirituality, knowing the Lord, a victorious Christian life does not come through original Greek or Hebrew. On the other hand, I don't want to put down some of my scholarly friends
mm-hmm.
who have spent years studying Greek and Hebrew. But the Bible is written for simple people. It's written in simple terms. It's really in about a fourth grade, fifth grade mm-hmm. vocabulary. You don't have to be a genius to understand the Bible. But we better check it out. I hope we're not repeating ourselves too much for people who are following these programs, but we need, first of all, to be sure the Bible is the Word of God. But it is not wrong. That's the question you asked me way back there, I guess, or this person asked. It's not wrong to want evidence.
Right, and to ask questions.
Right.
Somebody who's thinking, well, if I ask questions, it means I'm a person of doubts and lacking in faith. That may be, but it's not all wrong. If you want, really are a seeker after truth, and you have somebody, there are great teachers out there.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to understand, we're not saying if you've got a degree or if you're scholarly and you approach things from a standpoint that's cut above. Some person can go to an individual like that and ask them questions if they want to learn. And then what we're encouraging, you ask the questions, you receive answers, but then you check it out. The answers you receive, you check it out according to God's Word.
I think an important point for us to consider here at this moment, Tom, is in whom is your faith? Are you trusting the pastor?
Mm-hmm.
You're trusting the Bible teacher? You're trusting the priest? Or the Pope, or Billy Graham, or some great evangelist, who is the one that you are trusting? Well, I don't want to be distrustful of these people, but my faith is not in any human being. My faith is in God. My faith is in God's Word. So when someone, Bible teacher, pastor, priest, whoever he is, when he comes up with some statement, I want to know. First of all, I have some common sense. And if they tell me that don't ask questions, you just accept it. Whoa, that's a cult. You check your mind at the door.
Mm-hmm.
You let the cult leader do your thinking for you. No, I can't do that. I can't be part of that. I'm out of here if this is the way you operate. But I would just like to know, what you just said doesn't sound reasonable to me, or it seems to contradict the Bible. Could we discuss it a little further? That is a healthy approach that is not wrong, and a person should not be embarrassed to ask a question. If you don't understand, you need to understand. In fact, it's very important, Tom, because in Matthew 13, remember, the sower went forth to sow. He sowed some seed. The first seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and took it. The disciples said, Lord, what does that mean? Jesus said, I think it's around verse 18 or somewhere around there, when anyone receives the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Understandeth it not. Then comes the wicked one and takes from the heart the seed that was sown. So understanding is very important. With all you're getting, get understanding, Solomon says. You can't really believe something and trust something that you do not understand 100%. Mm-hmm. Probably we've run that one into the ground, Tom.
No, because it's important. Some people, maybe young Christians, they want to be able to trust someone who is going to...
Right.
I'm sure, and this is not something we condone, but there are people who are following this program and say, well, I just trust Dave Hunt. Whatever he says
goes.
I hope not, too, for their sake and for the sake of what the Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
We are personally accountable to the Lord for what we believe and why we believe it. Now, I believe the Lord's raised you up as a teacher. You've certainly influenced my life, but the main influence is I check out what you say,
right.
Dave.
Amen.
And that's, I know what, every pastor who has a heart, a shepherd who has a heart for his sheep, that's what they want for their sheep as well.
So our confidence is in the Lord, in his word, not in some human being, some church, religious system, a scholar, a pastor, or whatever. Our faith must be in the Lord. And God himself says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord, Isaiah 1:18. So this is what we should do.
Right. Dave, here's another question, right along this line. It wouldn't seem to be faith if reason and evidence support my belief. Now, I think that raises the issue if somebody out there who's listening to us thinks that we're pushing reason and evidence and proofs, and that's the way you come to God, as opposed to faith, then they're getting the wrong idea. We're saying it's a place to start, but it's not a place to finish. You finish by faith, because God is going to take us, well, we'll get into this, but God will take us beyond our ability to comprehend some things because of who he is.
Well, you quoted in the last program 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, because we're not lording it over anyone.
Yeah. And that wasn't written for the magisterium
God.
Or for some organization or some system.
Ordinary people.
Right.
But I must be able to give a reason. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe the Bible is God's word just because somebody says it. On the other hand, it does speak to my heart. They're not only scientific proofs, archaeological proofs, historical proofs, and so forth. There's not a lot of evidence, but the Bible is living and powerful, Hebrews 4:12, sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces the heart, and there's something about it. We know that this is God's word. God is speaking. You can read the Hindu Vedas, the Koran, or the Book of Mormon, and you will not get that impression at all, unless you are prejudiced in that direction. But we do need evidence. You say, well, if you have evidence, then if you can prove something, where is faith? Well, we've talked about it. The Bible proves, last program, Jesus proved himself alive after his death and his resurrection. Paul went everywhere proving from the scriptures. So there is much that we can prove. Now, you give me something from the Bible, for example, that I can check factually, historically, scientifically. For example, if the Bible says, but the moon is made of blue cheese. Joseph Smith said that the moon had people dressed like pilgrims living on it. Well, come on now. We can check it out. It's not true. So whenever the Bible says something that we can check, if it isn't factual, I'll throw this book out because I've got to take it as a whole. Either the Bible is all true or it's not.
Which is its claim.
That's right.
It's not just you saying, oh, it's a good book. This is the claim of the Scriptures.
Right.
And it reasonably, if it's God's word and God is perfect in every way, we got to have
it must
a
be
book
true.
In true in everything that it claims.
Absolutely. And if it isn't, then you and I are the ones who decide what part we believe, what part's true and what part isn't, and so forth. Like some people would, we don't want to get into that, but this book gets into it eventually. Get into evolution. Oh, well, evolution has been proved. Or science has come up with so many things that the Bible doesn't understand. Wait a minute. God is the creator. I think he knows more about the creation than any scientist will ever discover. Mm-hmm. And if there are mistakes in the Bible that science has to correct, as science moves beyond, sometimes they would say, well, it reflects the thinking of the culture of the day in which it was written. Absolutely not. It does not. That's one of the evidences that the Bible is God's word. It is beyond the day and the culture in which it was written.
So Dave, what's the relationship between faith and reason, evidence, and proof that we're talking about? This person who writes this, he's stuck on, he or she, they're stuck on faith as one thing, and certainly if you have faith, then reason and evidence, you know, they don't come to play here.
Well, Tom, I hope we're not going around in circles. We've quoted 1 Peter 3:15 several times. Give a reason for your hope, for mm-hmm. the faith. So faith is not a leap in the dark. There has to be a reason why. Why am I a Christian and not a Buddhist? Well, you were raised in a Christian home. Well, wait a minute. I checked out these religions. Why do you believe what you believe? There must be a reason. Why do I have faith in God? Well, I've got a lot of reasons. I mean, from his word, I have checked the Bible out, and believe me, it has been checked by the skeptics. They've attacked this book. They've examined this book with a microscope for centuries and have not been able to find a flaw in it. Oh, you say, well, I know some flaws. Okay, well, let's discuss them. So I've checked it out from the Bible. I know God personally. I mean, I talk to him. And so many times I say, Lord, I can look back at my life and see where you have guided me. And if you hadn't been guiding me, I would have been in real trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I've said, I could even prove the existence of God by the people he sits me next to on airplanes. Some of those, and you had the same experiences, some of those experiences are so remarkable that you cannot deny that God is behind it. I've had to change planes or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So there are many ways in which I have proof. I have evidence. I have a reason. I've got a reason why I believe in God. I have reasons why I believe in Jesus Christ. And if you don't, if you have blind faith, then a blind faith in Jesus is no better than a blind mm-hmm. faith in Buddha. Yeah. If it's a blind faith, the Muslim could say it. Or the guy that says, well, I think God is some chimpanzee that lives in a cave in northern Africa. Well, I just believe it. Well, you better have some reason. That's all we're trying to say.
Yeah. And Dave, I want to bring us back to, again, I don't think we're being too redundant here. I think these are important issues. But let's say that somebody who's leaning on the side of proof and evidence and so on, and someone says to them, well, wait a minute, where does faith fit into this? Mm-hmm. If we can prove everything, I don't really need faith. However, you point out in the book over and over, and it's a really important point, is that faith is guided, at least initially, by reason. God said, come, mm-hmm. let us reason together. He gives us certain things. Right. But we're finite beings. We're not God. At some point in our life, we have to say, wait, this is not irrational, not illogical, but I can't comprehend this. I've got to just trust God.
Mm-hmm. There are some many things like that, Tom. For example, time. I can't fathom time. Of course, I think time is part of this physical universe, and it does not exist with God. But that God never had a beginning, I mean, I've thought about that so much. You could go mad thinking about that, and I talk to the Lord about it. I say, Lord, how did you get to be God? Well, of course, you didn't get to be God. You couldn't be not God and then become God. That's irrational. But, Lord, you've always been. I can't fathom that. I mean, that blows your mind that we're finite beings, as you said. We can't understand that. On the other hand, I know it must be true because There could not have been a time when nothing existed, not even God, mm-hmm. and suddenly God comes into existence. So there are things that are beyond our capacity as finite beings. We can't comprehend them. They are rational. I mean, we're driven to these conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
We're driven to the conclusion that the universe had a beginning, for example. If not, it would have run down by now. Second law of thermodynamics. But the Bible starts out, in the beginning, God created. It tells me that he made everything out of nothing. I cannot understand that, but the Bible has proved itself to me in so many ways that when it says things that I can't understand, mm-hmm. then I accept that. Now, here's the difference between the Christian and the atheist. The same evidence is there for everyone. I mean, the evidence is there. The universe didn't happen by chance. The human brain, with 240 miles of nerves and trillions of connections, and I mean, it didn't come into being by chance, and it certainly couldn't possibly evolve, because the brain is of no value unless it really works. It's not going to help you survive. Your eye isn't going to help you survive until it really works, and when you consider the complexity of it beyond any lens. I mean, the lobster has, what, several thousand eyes? I don't remember. But the Nassau and scientists are studying the lobster's eyes because they're so incredible, so forth. Okay.
I'm more interested in the other end of the lobster.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Right, I'm sure you are. But anyway, we know it couldn't happen by chance. Okay, now we follow the evidence. There is solid evidence, rational evidence, logical evidence. It's factual. You can't deny it. It all points in the direction of God. But I come to the point where, but God, I mean, that's beyond me. Just thinking of who God is, I can't fathom that. But all the evidence that I have followed step by step that I can check up, it points in that direction. Then I will take a step of faith. I take the step of faith beyond reason, beyond what I can comprehend, but it's in the direction that all the reason is pointed. Yeah. Now, the atheist has seen the same evidence. He turns 180 degrees. He takes a leap of faith. It is a leap of faith. In the other direction, he says, yeah, but I choose to believe it all happened by chance. There is no God and so forth. I think that's irrational.
Yeah, Dave, there's a biblical example, and check me on this. Jesus, born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem during a certain period of time, historical period of time, when the decree went out from Caesar Augustus, in that statement, there are a lot of things that we can check out historically. Bethlehem, it's still there, mm-hmm. right? It was there when this was written and so on. Now, we can look at all of the factual things with regard to that, but then we have this, wait a minute, Jesus born of a virgin? Now, if everything in what I mm-hmm. said checks out historically, factually, then, but I need faith. I don't know, I don't understand the virgin birth. I can give some good reasons
why it had to be
right. But it's beyond my comprehension. But I can accept it by faith. So there we have, I think, an example of faith as well as facts, reasons, evidence, proofs.
Right, right. Yeah. It's that way all the way through, Tom.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to encourage people to check these things out, to be encouraged by God's Word. Again, there are doubts. There are things that, as we're studying God's Word or as we're looking into faith or looking into so-called religion, we've got to ask questions so that we can understand these things. God said, come, let us reason together. And the Scripture also says we're to walk by faith, not by sight.
And understanding is absolutely vital. And if you don't understand something, ask a question. Find out. Until you do. Now, we said there's some things beyond our understanding, but you better have enough of them that you can understand to bring you to that point of taking that step of faith.